This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
A ship is freed, the slots crash at MGM in Vegas, and thousands of auto workers have walked off the job in targeted strikes that could squeeze the economy. Hey, hey, everybody, just another day in paradise. Kate Delaney, as always, thrilled to be the skipper of this ship in some pretty rough waters, especially if you live in New England. Oh, yeah, that blast of Hurricane Lee is affecting that area as far as high water is concerned, waves and winds and some wicked, wicked, wicked stuff. But we start first with this that just happened after midnight on Thursday in very unprecedented move. Union workers strike against all three big auto workers. Massive assembly plants are going to be affected by this. On strike at the big three. I mean, huge, huge for the United Auto Workers Union to do it. They represent over 146,000 workers. And hours before the contract expiration, the union identified the plants they would be targeting, striking these massive assembly plants, one in Missouri, a huge Ford Michigan truck plant in Warren, Michigan, and the Stellantis Toledo Assembly Complex in Ohio. 5,800, for example, will be on strike there. So GM said it was disappointed, but they would continue to bargain and do what they could. But this is unprecedented. It is the largest strike of active workers in our nation in 25 years. In 25 years. And so when you think about these companies, so you know, you look at the pickup trucks and all of that. You look at, you know, like the Chevy Colorado, the GMC Canyon pickups. And you look at Ford, and you look at their bestsellers like the F-150. So there's going to be a squeeze because of the impacts, the rippling impacts of what happens when it comes to these vehicles, too, where people won't be able to get certain ones. It'll be backed up, all of that, depending on how long that it goes on. So the union went on strike. They did get offers to raise hourly wages as much as 20% over the life. That's the key, over the life of the contracts. They wanted 40% now. So this wasn't even 20% right away. It was over the life of the contracts. The top existing hourly pay of $32.32 would be the top existing pay. And those offers would have taken the senior most auto workers to a base pay of more than $80,000 a year. That doesn't include overtime or profit sharing. But the union started the negotiations at a 20% raise right away and four additional raises of 5% during the lifetime of the contract, and said that they weren't backing down from that. And they had a list of other things too, like cost of living adjustments, you know, all of that. The union arguing that because of inflation, real wages have fallen in recent years, even as the companies posted record or near record profits. Automakers' CEOs' pay climbed up to 40%, and of course, car prices soared to all-time highs. We know that, but especially the CEO pays, that really stuck in what they were getting, stuck in the, I think, the craw of many of those auto workers. So there's the push for more time off, the idea of a four-day work week, 32-hour work week it would be without a drop in pay. And wow, this is very, very big, my friends, and we have our eyes on it. We've been talking about it. We've talked to people about it in the market, in the space. And it is absolutely something to pay attention to. All right, speaking of paying attention, this would get your attention. Can you imagine? Timing is everything in life, isn't it? You get that trip, you decide, I'm going to Vegas. Kids are back in school. We're going to make a little extra weekend of it. It was a bad weekend or week to decide to do that. So if you went to the Borgata, it's cash only, no comps or credit cards after that MGM cyber attack. A notorious ransomware group is supposedly behind this cyber attack. And after 4 days, the company is still trying to clean up the mess in Vegas and in other places. So they say they're still open for business, but you won't be able to use your key card if you're a guest. They have to let you in with keys. Slot machines, forget about it. They really are not functioning. And if they are functioning, they're not printing out what you've won. So you got to wait for somebody to get the money for you. Credit card transactions, ATMs, forget about it. Yes, it's bad. So Black Cat is the well-known ransomware group that compromised MGM by using LinkedIn. Check this out, how they did this. This is so crazy. By using LinkedIn to find an employee's information, then engaging in a 10-minute conversation with the help desk. And there, you know, there's always these ways in. And so that's how they did it. And apparently Caesars Entertainment was also hit by hackers. And it came out that they paid millions of dollars, $15 million, late August, because they wanted out of that attack. Out of the attack. And to give you an idea of how much of a ripple effect this has, you're talking about tens of thousands of, let's forget the gambling side, you're talking about tens of thousands of hotel rooms in Vegas. MGM Grand, Bellagio, Cosmopolitan, New York, New York, Excalibur, Luxor, Mandalay Bay, and the list is even longer. Mm-hmm. Vegas depends on people coming and staying in those hotels. Heavy tourist dollars, absolutely, without a doubt. And so it does impact them, no question about it. How about the expedition cruise carrying over 200 people stuck in Greenland between two glaciers for days, finally freed after running aground? The ocean explorer ship was pulled loose by a research vessel, which is run by the Greenland Institute of Natural Resources. They came to the rescue, and this vessel ran aground, 5 days ago. The people on board are safe. They were waiting, and they were antsy, and they got through it, though. And seeing the boat stuck was so crazy. Calm water, sunny conditions. It doesn't look like the ship had any serious damage, but they tried different methods to try to get it loose, and they could not do it. So the question is, how did they run aground? What happened that caused this silt and all the stuff around it to make that happen? And being stuck in that place would be, again, very strange. And it looked like. You just had this incredibly beautiful view for the same day over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. But I can see how people might get a little impatient with that, even if you're sitting between two glaciers. Coming up next, you're going to love our next loquacious guest. Bradford's Walk is the name of his new book, Dennis O'Neill.
The Silver Lungs Generator is the only all-encompassing professional class product for producing endless colloidal and ionic silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. With recent regulations threatening the sale of silver-based supplements, now you can secure yourself and your family by producing your own silver solutions anywhere, anytime. You can have the peace of mind knowing that you can create endless supply of silver anytime, anywhere, for any application. The Silver Lungs Generator is a one-time purchase that requires no maintenance nor replacement parts for the life of the unit. This product was designed to be an invaluable part of your vital preparation. operations. For a detailed report on the differences between ionic silver, colloidal silver, and what most silver solution manufacturers are producing, please visit our website at www.silverlungs.com for more information on why you should be producing your own silver solutions right from your home forever.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
This time around on Author's Corner here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. I'm so excited because we have, really he's super well known, Dennis O'Neill with us, and we're talking about Bradford's Walk, a bit of doggerel, and it's so interesting. The book is interesting and fascinating, but he's fascinating as well, and I think this is a must read. You need to put this on your bookshelf. You need to read it to kids. You need to get it for yourself. It is so fascinating. We are definitely a show that is pro-dog, and we are pro-Dennis O'Neill too. Wait till you learn more about him. So, Dennis, thanks for coming on.
Hey, such sweet words. Thanks a lot. This was, it's going from the River Wild to Bradford's Walk. So, and by the way, quick story. In a meeting at Universal about the River Wild, there was a dog called Maggie who was a golden retriever. And they said in the meeting, Dennis, you can kill a human being, but do not hurt the dog. This was true in the River Wild. So Maggie was unscathed, as all dogs should be.
So we're going to talk about A River Wild, which, of course, you wrote, and all the excitement with that. You think of the main star as Meryl Streep. Kevin Bacon was also in it. John C. Reilly was also in it. It was one of my favorite movies, I have to say, and that's another thing. If you haven't seen it, definitely, definitely, definitely see this movie. But let's talk about Bradford's Walk. What was the inspiration for Bradford's Walk?
This is a fun backstory, Kate, because it's a story that the verse I wrote 40 years ago after college, Dartmouth. I moved down to Boston. I was a folk singer. I was living there. But I grew up in Greens Farms, Connecticut, on the edge of Long Island Sound. And I had a privileged, loving childhood. So I'd go back to visit my parents in Greens Farms. And depending on who the dog they had, and for a long stretch, it was this beautiful coonhound named Bradford. And so I'd come back home, and I'd take these long 5-mile walks with him down from Turkey Hill Circle down to Long Island Sound, from Pequot Beach to Bering Hill Beach, past Nyala Farms, and, you know, past the stream where I caught my first trout and back to the house. And it was always just off leash, by the way. there was no leash involved. And Bradford was just an exuberant, you know, loving, adventurous companion who had more energy at the start of the walk than the end. But after I did that for 5 or 6 times, I realized that there might be, you know, a story here that could be fun to tell. And in fact, I have good school pedigree on this kind of storytelling. Ogden Nash was a went to St. George's School. He, of course, was a great light burstman and poet in the early part of the 1900s. And then the great Ted Geisel, Dr. Seuss, went to Dartmouth a few years ahead of me. But he was great friends with my dad, and they were both actually both editors of the humor magazine at Dartmouth, the Jack-O-Lantern. So I felt that I was empowered by some academic connective tissue to these great comedic voices. And I'd written some poems and written short stories, and I was a folk singer, so I was writing lyrics. Anyway, so 40 years ago, I wrote 23 rhyming sing-song verses, a little doggerel. Some of it is a more predictable rhyming meter than others. And I sat on it, Kate. It was just, I wrote it, and I loved it, and I just was happy having that time with Bradford. And, of course, it was also, you know, it's about going home, which is, then the story, I think, when I look back, operates on a number of levels. One, a universal walk with a dog, which is great. But more important, it's remembering your childhood and your past and going back to places that evoke these great memories. So it was, you know, as we get older in life, as we move on, this connective tissue, I think, it's really important in our lives just to let us know where we came from. And in this case, remind me of very happy times and with a walk with Bradford. So 2 years ago, I was on Facebook and I saw these watercolor landscapes by this fellow named Cyrus Quadland, who had gone to St. George's School with me. And we hadn't kept up. And I just communicated with him. I said, "Cy, these are beautiful." And then we had a correspondence for a while. Then all of a sudden, Bradford's walk crept back into my mind. And I said to Cyrus, "You know, you ever painted a dog or have any interest in painting a dog?" He said, "Well, send me the verses." And I did. And what came back was the cover image of Bradford's walk, which is a sweet beckoning, you know, Bradford at the edge of the bed in the morning, you know, waiting for me to get up and take him on the walk. So I knew we were in business. And then over the course of the year, Cy made another 43 illustrations, which comprised the book. And we ended up a friend of his, a wonderful artistic designer in New York State where he lives, Lisa Diebel, put stitch it all together. And so I had the verses, Cy had the images, and she, I think, quite beautifully wove it all together into this tapestry, which, you know, you've seen it, this walk down to the water's edge with Bradford and all the adventures along the way. So it makes me smile to this day thinking about Bradford. And, you know, Kate, we've talked about this. You know, if you're a dog owner in your life, you're going to have five or six dogs, maybe, you know, some more memorable than others, but all, you know, have a fond place in your heart, and Bradford certainly did. So it's really fun for me to look back at this book and think about my boyhood, which was very joyful in Connecticut, and then to see all these old places and visit him with his most exuberant, lovable dog, Bradford. And Cyrus, as you know, you've seen the book, I don't know how he captures dog emotions, but you're a dog owner. Somehow he figured out how to do it. So we're very pleased with the book, and thank you for the kind words.
Was it fun to reconnect with him? I mean, imagine that through social media, Facebook, and then you realize, oh, there's something here. I wonder if he could do this. And then you see what he produces, and then you match that to the words that you had written, like, four decades ago. How interesting. I mean, you've been a lot of places, and you've written a lot of things. That has to feel really good.
It's thrilling, and you know this because I've written a couple of films that have gotten made. You know, when the whole exceeds the sum of the parts, you know this, that's the most exciting part of the creative spirit. So when I wrote a screenplay and Meryl Streep, you know, read some lines, and John C. Reilly and Kevin Bacon and Jerry Goldsmith put a score down, and Curtis Hanson, the wonderful director, figured out how to shoot the scenes, you get to a place beyond your own contribution, you know. And that was the same thing with Bradford's walk. I loved the verses I had written, and it brought back memories. But when I saw Cy's work, it took the story to another level, you know, which is thrilling. And, you know, and I think in the creative field, that's always the most exciting part, when the whole exceeds the sum of the parts. So, by the way, I only went to St. George's School for 2 years. I was in public school in Greens Farms in Westport, where I grew up. And we played different sports, so I didn't know him that well there, but it was a small class of 55 kids, so you knew everybody. And I liked him, but I just hadn't kept up with him. So connecting with him was... and then he put me back in touch with Bradford, of course, which is great. So we're very pleased with how it turned out, and it's really fun to reconnect with Cy.
Absolutely. There's something to that story, too, as well. Which, by the way, you can get this book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. And we're going to tell you about Dennis's website, too, here in a little while. Again, the name of the book, Bradford's Walk. That's easy to find. Dennis O'Neill, of course. And you've mentioned it a couple of different times. Rivers Wild. The Rivers Wild was a great movie to me. It scared the bejesus out of me, but it also got me to go whitewater rafting. And I went on the New River, and I went in a couple of different places. How did you create that? How did your mind come up with that?
Well, there's an easy answer. I'm a lifelong fisherman, so I went down with some of my Montana friends. I went down the Smith River in the Lewis and Clark National Forest outside of Great Falls, Montana, on a rafting trip. And on about night two, it's a miniature Grand Canyon, Kate. It's 50 miles long, and it winds through these towering cliffs. And we were sitting around the campfire one night, and I was just hearing the crackle of the fire and the noises in the, you know, in the woods behind you. And I just thought, gosh, what if a bad guy like Kevin Bacon came out of the darkness and entered your life in an unpleasant way? What would you do? Because you're on the river of no return at that point. You can't get on it till you get off. So actually, it started out, I got off the river, I wrote it as a humorous piece for Fly Rod and Reel called Diary of a Mad Floater first, and then I realized the Kevin Bacon component, and in three weeks, I wrote a draft screenplay, and I was friends at the time with Meryl Streep's husband, Don Gummer, who's a wonderful sculptor, and Don and I were talking. He said, Dennis, you don't have anything for Meryl by any chance, do you? And I said, oh, geez, Don. You know, I just finished a draft of something, and it's a woman lead, and she's an outdoors woman about Meryl's age. She said, can I see it? I said, yeah, you can see it. So I sent it to him, and Kate, this is the good news, bad news. The good news is, on my answering machine about 2 weeks later, the green light was blinking. Beep! Dennis, it's Meryl. Where are you? The River Wild. I love this thing. Call me. Beep! Dennis, for God's sakes, where are you? Call me. That was the good news, and that's how that started. The bad news is I lost the tape, so I don't have Meryl's voice on tape saying how much she enjoyed the River Wild.
So you can imagine what it would be like having Meryl Streep try to get a hold of you because she wants to be the star in your screenplay, The River Wild, which was produced in 1994. And there's so many great actors in that, you know, mentioning Kevin Bacon and John C. Reilly, and there were others too. So we're going to talk more about what Meryl Streep was like and being on that set and all of that with Dennis O'Neill when we come back, who is also, of course, the author of Bradford's Walk.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. The Israeli Security Cabinet has approved an increase in supplies to prevent a humanitarian collapse in southern Gaza. Concurrently, Israel reports its forces have surrounded the residence of the top Hamas leader, presumed to be in hiding underground.
The off-duty Alaska Airlines pilot accused of trying to crash a plane in October has been released from custody. Joseph David Emerson's wife, Sarah Stretch, says he never intended to hurt anyone.
Hard situation for a lot of people, not just Joe, for the people that were on the airplane, for the pilot. For the flight attendant.
Emerson is being charged with 83 counts of recklessly endangering another person and one count of endangering an aircraft. According to the terms of the release, he will be allowed to return to his home in California while awaiting trial. That's the latest. I'm Dave Collins, USA News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Dennis O'Neill, who's written five books. We've been talking about The River Wild and what a wild experience that was. But he's had so much success in so many different arenas, and especially with writing. And he talked about that at the start of our conversation. And to do him really justice, I mean, look, he began publishing articles and did a lot of short stories in Sports Illustrated, the Boston Globe, Sunday Magazine, which is huge, Fly Rod, Antiques, American Photographer, and so many others. Plus, what was, I thought, really cool, and we had an off-air conversation about this, is he worked on staff as a freelance writer-producer for Boston's public television station, WGBH-TV. A lot of times you'll see that scrawl across some of the programs you're watching, even nationally. So he wrote copy. He did programs like Frontline. Oh, I loved Frontline. Growing up in Philadelphia for a while, Jessica Savage was the host of that Frontline show. And Mystery and Masterpiece Theater, the National Ballroom Dancing Championships, Irish Treasure, no surprise there, No Irish Need Apply. And just his background lending itself to this new book, Bradford's Walk, and it's so cleverly done. It just pulls you right along. You feel like you're walking there with Dennis. You really, really, really do. And imagine being there in Connecticut and doing that. And who knows what he'll do next, because, you know, you go through again his body of work and it's just absolutely fascinating. All right. We continue with Dennis O'Neill. We pick it up with more on Meryl Streep and The River Wild. And Dennis talking about how really athletic she was and how she embraced that role.
You know, she is such a good athlete besides being a great actor, Kate, you know. And she ended up, she lived for a while, had a home up in northwestern Connecticut with a lake on it. And she had a neighbor who was an Olympic rower. So she learned how to row. And the opening scene on the Charles River, I think as we were discussing, is her in that single scull. And when we were making the movie, we had the two best whitewater rafting women in the American West who were her, you know, stunt doubles. And I bet Meryl did 90% of her own work at the end of the day. She was so great at that and so accomplished. And I think it comes through. And then, so when she, you know, poured, as she does with any of her roles, of course, she pours herself into the character. So she became a river guide, and she had enough athletic ability, you know, I think, to be very convincing. And then that kind of imbued, you know, this mother. And when these bad guys think they're going to get her into trouble, she has. And Maggie, of course, the dog, is not too far off. But they have something else to confront when Meryl Streep sets her mind to getting through the gauntlet and saving her family.
What was it like for you on the production of The River Wild? Because you got to be there for that. And there's, when you write something the way you did, it's in your mind, you put it on paper, it becomes this screenplay, it's flushed out. Then all of a sudden you get somebody like Meryl Streep and other incredible actors behind it. And now you're there watching it unfold. That has to be a really unique experience that most of us will never experience. What was that like?
Oh, God, Kate, that was fun. And especially because for a motion picture, the screenplay is where it all starts. So, you know, I'm the original chunk of clay that they start working with. As I say, to have gotten Meryl involved, don't forget Curtis Hanson, and he rests in peace. What a filmmaker he was. In a row, he made Hand That Rocks the Cradle, River Wild, L.A. Confidential, Wonder Boys, and 8 Mile. So this man was a master director, and I just was in such good hands, and I spent a lot of time in Montana. So The River Wild is actually three rivers, Kate, we filmed on the Middle Fork of the Flathead, the Kootenai River, and then the Rogue River in Oregon. One, two quick asides that are fun. So on the night one before we started production in Kalispell, Montana, there was a dinner for the cast and crew, and John C. Reilly comes up to me and says, God, I love this, Dennis. It's a great role. Can you tell me what I was like as a child? Kate, I went, oh, my God. I just froze for a minute. I went, oh, my God, I only picked him up in the screenplay when he gets out of prison. And I fumbled for a while and then made up something about his backstory. But I realized at that moment that all actors, whatever chunk of their lives they're portraying in the movie, they want to know where they came from, who their parents were, who their role models were, what the, you know. So it was a great lesson about learning backstory. And whatever story you're writing, know how far back it goes. The other one that was fun, we ended up on the Rogue River in Oregon in October shooting this summer movie. And at some point, the leaves started to turn green to yellow. And they had to come out with green spray cans and spray paint the leaves green in the back of the shot so that it would maintain its summer continuity. But then, you know, to have Jerry Goldsmith, and I forget who our DP was. He was terrific. It just was joy. You know, for my first movie, Kate, can you imagine the luck of a draw? And I'd written 10 scripts and had one option. But so this was the first leap into this world. And again, circling back on, you know, why it's so much fun to do Bradford's Walk with Cyrus. When you add another layer of creativity, Kate, and it just makes your original creation grow and sound better and vibrate more and be a more satisfying experience. So it was a joy. And I was on it for the whole 15 weeks. So.
Wow. You know, in talking about Bradford's Walk, what do you hope people take away from, they listen to our conversation, they find your book, they read your book, they give your book as a gift, because I think it's a gift-giving kind of book too. What do you hope people take away from reading it?
You know, Kate, I think it's just a reminder that if you've been, that the simple pleasures in life are sometimes the most resonant, And also, as you get older in life, and the, you know, if you're lucky, the journey goes on. To be connected to your past is makes the present all the more meaningful, I think. And so, for me, going back to this hometown and visiting these neighborhoods on the beach where I grew up as a kid, and before Bradford arrived, I was on those beaches. And then, so he took me back, you know, in time. It was sort of this sort of poetic time travel. And I think so, if anybody is reading it, I hope it, one, it makes them feel good about small moments in their own lives, whether it's with pets or friends or at a meal. You know, Kate, wherever you can, I think, find joy and contentment in the world is a good place to start. But also that, think about your life and the connective tissue that you have in it. And I think it just, when you get, you know, closer to the end of the road than the beginning of the journey, it's really fun to know that where you've been and to be able to take stock of that. And if it makes you smile all these years later, lucky you. You know, I was lucky. I had fantastic parents. My dad was a writer, by the way, so I was an apple that fell from a writer's tree. And he was, listen to this, Rat Pack. He came out to Hollywood just after the war. He and my mother were both in the OSS. My mom, at the age of 25, was an officer in the OSS supplying the Maquisard, the resistance in France, with weapons and money. But they came out west, and they're Rat Pack of friends. And from 1946 to 1948 was Ted Geisel, Robert Ryan, the actor, Jean Renoir, the filmmaker, and Elia Kazan. Now, is that a dinner party you and I want to sit in on and get involved with?
Oh, yes.
My God, Kate. The conversation must have been so much fun. And so growing up as a kid, it was a writer's house. And so a lot of Pop's friends were writers. And in fact, on the street where Bradford takes his walk, John Hershey's house is, in fact, next to, Orphan Annie. I forget the writer of Orphan Annie, but he was right there next to the John Hershey house. So it was a writer's, you know, neighborhood, Westport was. And I could kind of hear some of those voices or feel comforted anyway by the presence of other writers who were around there. But my dad was a writer, and there was always, you know, opinionated conversation and a lot of joy and a lot of humor and appreciation of good writing and storytelling. So that's what that was lucky me. That's what I grew up with. My mom was from Minneapolis, and she was a star human being. I got really lucky. So.
Wow. Well, you are an excellent storyteller. There's no doubt about it. And this is riveting. So I suggest that anybody listening to this go and pick up Bradford's Walk. Where else can they find you? Tell us about your website.
Kate, the website is simple. It's Dennis with one N, D-E-N-I-S, the letter R, O-N-E-I-L-L, at gmail.com, D-E-N-I-S-R-O-N-E-I-L-L, at gmail, excuse me, just .com, not at gmail. And there's everything from my old folks, and there's music on it. There's the two movies I've had made. There are the five books I've published, and one including a Dartmouth memoir called Whiplash, When the Vietnam War Rolled a Hand Grenade into the Animal House. So there's a lot of history, and, you know, Bradford is a nice addition to that lineup of things. I wrote a novelized version of my original screenplay, The River Wild, 3 or 4 years ago, and that came out, added a new character. And then wrote, speaking of dogs, I wrote a book called Canis Diris, a thriller about dire wolves set in, so a relative of Bradford, set in Yosemite Park. So, but there's a lot. There's some music there from the old days. There's a bit of history, some photographs. But that's my connective tissue right there on that site. So people want to know who was walking with Bradford. And Bradford was a real dog, and I certainly am a real person. And it's all on that website. I'd be very happy to have anybody take a look at that.
Excellent. Thank you, Dennis. It was such a pleasure talking with you.
Thanks, Kate. Great to be with you.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
As the cold and flu season approaches, Silver Lungs is ready to help you and your family through the toughest of the year by supporting your immune system and overall health. From our best-selling colloidal silver generating system to our entire line of silver-based skin gels, nasal sprays, soaps, and silver solutions, Silver Solutions remain one of nature's most powerful and least expensive antibacterial agents. Now you can produce your own for pennies a day in the comfort of your home using the breakthrough technology of the Silver Lungs Generator. Learn more today at www.silverlungs.com.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each three-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Escorted Away. We have Harry Josephson with us. Harry, this story is so powerful. Before we get into the details of the story, what was it that made you decide you were going to write this book?
Well, Kate, and I appreciate the question. It was a situation where I went through, 10 years or so of misery, learning what not to do with an addicted son. And it just, it was something I needed to put in writing for my own benefit. It was a good therapy for me, and I thought maybe along the way I can help some other parents in the same boat, that maybe they won't have to go through everything I did.
And as you said, a decade of hell. How did you first discover that your son had a problem, that something was going on?
Well, we received a letter from a neighbor that said he had sent an email to her son saying that he had been high 24/7 since eighth grade was over. And then we found marijuana growing in his closet, marijuana plants. So those things together really tipped us off.
So that happens, and what's your first instinct? What do you do? Because I'm sure there's so many parents that are listening to us and so many concerned adults around kids they care about. What do you do? What did you do?
Well, the first thing we did was search his room, take everything out of there, get rid of the plants. We found some pills. We got rid of the pills. there's an instinct initially that says if you eliminate all this stuff, somehow you're going to eliminate the problem, but that's not really true.
Yeah. And were you surprised by this? Because you had a good kid that was involved in doing things.
Yeah, I was extremely surprised. I think everybody believes that, you know, my child's not going to have this issue. And he did. And it got worse instead of better. And eventually I had him shipped off against his will to a disciplinary boarding school out in Iowa.
Yeah. And how hard was it to do that?
Extremely hard, because he stayed there for a year. And I believe to this day that he would not have gotten a high school education or diploma, I should say, had I not done that. But he looked at me through the window and said, "I'm turning to an effing life of crime. You will never see me again." He was driving away. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, how tough is that? And, you know, you talk about a lot of things in this book that I think are so helpful to so many other people. You talk about the three C's. What are the three C's?
The three C's were something I learned in a Naranon meeting. And it's the three C's are: you didn't cause it, you can't cure it, and you cannot control it. And if you look at the 12 steps, the very first one of the 12 steps says that, you know, essentially you're powerless over addiction, as you're looking at it from a Naranon member's viewpoint. So that's a big thing that freed me to say, I didn't cause this, and I can't of my own volition cure it. And so I learned that unless he decided he wanted to get some help, there was very little I could do to make him get help.
Wow. And you know, then he gets the help. And what is life like today?
He still has some issues. I believe, as I look back at it these many years later, and he's been off heroin now, and we didn't even discuss the fact that he became addicted to heroin for,
wow,
for quite a few years, that he still has the same issues, anxiety, depression, things like that, that he had before, but he was using these substances to try to mask that or to deal with it. And that's something we learned, too, that is if you have, and most of these people have mental health issues, there's not much we can do about that either. I mean, we're powerless over that. They have to learn to live with their mental health issues, and he still has some, but at least he's not using hard drugs to mask them.
Yeah, and you know, and in the book you talk about, like you say, heroin was a big thing. So it's one thing to find weed in the closet and be shocked and find pills and all of that, but then heroin, and we see how deadly it is, and then immediately when you say the word heroin, that's exactly what you think, and how addictive it is and how tough that is. But some of the other things that you dealt with, and you talk about this in the book, Escorted Away, and we're speaking with Harry Josephson. You can pick it up on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. The other thing that you talk about is you talk about jail, and you talk about back to jail, and you talk about back to jail, and, you know, 32 days in a different jail. Wow. That had to be tough, too.
It was very tough. But I got to a point where, with the help of some of the people in Naranon, it's like some of these things that we think are bad, are really bad or really terrible, are things that absolutely have to happen if somebody is going to get better. And our Naranon leader says, I try not to judge things as good or bad, because the thing I think might be the most terrible thing may be the thing that helps them get clean. So you have to kind of let go of the things that you think are good or bad along the way. And he spent time in lots of rehabs, I'd say probably 8 or 9 different rehab trips and a couple stints in jail. And it just, a lot of things had to happen. So if I can give anybody advice along those lines, and we try not to give advice, but some observations that I learned was sometimes some bad things have to happen.
Yeah, and you have to let go of that, right? You have to let go of whatever the label is you think in your head and what's the worst of the worst to be able to get through it yourself.
Oh, that's correct. I mean, and on my end, too, I had to go through some really bad things before I got it, you know, so to speak. So that's why I think it could be helpful to other parents to hear my experiences. And then when they have those experiences, they can say, yeah, I've heard about this before. I may have to go through some things before I decide to let go. And you really do have to let go because you can't control the outcome. You can't cure this disease.
Yeah, you have to let go and then work around all that. And you mentioned so many times, and you have a chapter on it, about Naranon and how powerful that was for you. When you're in that group, there are people you can lean on. There's things that you hear, and you just said one of them to us that was something to really pay attention to, not judging good or bad, pulling that out of your mind. Was that the thing that sort of saved you a little bit?
It did largely. I was about ready to rip my hair out before I joined Naranon, and the ability to hear other people that have been through this before and have successfully and you know, the navigation of this type of thing is not an instantaneous cure for the parents either. It's a process, and you have to learn from experience. But when you hear other people who've been through it, you say, wow, that sounds so much like what I'm going through. It's not just me. And group therapy works that way. It's, you get to hear other people's experiences. And you're not alone. I guess that's the bottom line. You're not alone.
Yeah. And what do you hope, and you said it throughout this, what do you hope people take away? I mean, you've got conclusions in the book. You end with, what have I learned?
I think the biggest thing I learned was I can stand in the way of the things that have to happen for this person to get clean or for this person to get off drugs. And those are things like, you know, giving money, providing a place to go, a lawyer when you get charged with a crime, things like that. There's all kinds of things that I did. And I spent lots of money along the way learning these things before I figured out I was just giving him the resources to potentially kill himself.
Yeah, you were doing, though, what so many people would do, so many of us would do, because you just love them and you wanted to see this go away.
Right. As a parent, you think, I can help this go away. And our Naranon leader says, I've talked to many of people who have been through this and survived, asked them what it took to get them clean, and he said, I've never once heard him say, because of something my parents did for me.
Wow. Very, very telling. Well, the book is powerful. Pick it up, Escorted Away. Harry Josephson, thanks so much for sharing your story with us.
Okay, Kate, I appreciate you having me on. Thank you so much.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this interview and this show. Make it count, everybody.
Kate Delaney, I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog, yeah, that's Guinness, he is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, or hit me up on Twitter @KateSDelaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.